Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph of Friday, May 8th, 2020. We're going to start off with some front page stories. The first one is headlined, Problem Solvers, Nursing Educators Adjust to Teaching During the Pandemic. And it's accompanied by a photo of Illinois Wesleyan University Director of Nursing, Victoria Fulce, who is standing in a closed simulation lab on the Bloomington campus. It looks like kind of like an emergency room with several beds behind her and what I presume are either dummies or people playing to be patients behind her. She's standing there in the front wearing a mask. Dateline Bloomington. Educators at Bloomington Normal's three nursing programs see silver linings amid pandemic challenges, including a higher profile for nurses in general and public health in particular. Although the pivot was tough, all of us in healthcare are problem solvers. We got into this because we like to solve problems, said Jennifer O'Connor, the Dean of Health Sciences and Director of Nursing Education at Heartland Community College. Victoria Fulce, a professor and director of the Illinois Wesleyan University School of Nursing, for instance, had to get 20 nursing students studying in Spain back to the U.S. The faculty has found all kinds of new resources, said O'Connor. Hopefully, at the end of all of this, we will have learned some things and gained some new skills. While online simulations and substitute projects might not be as good as the real world, Fulce has no doubt that this year's graduates are prepared. I don't have any trepidation, she said. If I was in the hospital and they were my caregivers, I would not be concerned. Illinois State University already was using standardized patients that we trained to play the role of a patient, said Judy Newbrander, the Dean of Mennonite College of Nursing. We are able to use our standardized patients in a virtual way. Doing telehealth visits with the standardized patients, the students went through all kinds of scenarios, she said. It's not the same as being in a hospital, but our students say we are still learning, she said. Newbrander thinks there could be greater interest in public health as the pandemic has focused on its importance. It's not flashy. You aren't starting an IV every day. It's about education, said Newbrander. We preach that vaccinations and herd immunity does make a difference. Fulce said, ironically, our seniors were in their public health clinicals when everything shut down. It was a real-world opportunity to see public health playing out in our community. Applications are strong at all three institutions, and that is not expected to change. For those who go into nursing, helping is part of their personality, Newbrander said. Some would say it's a calling, she said. I don't think it will deter them. Sydney Shanks of Bloomington, who is receiving her nursing degree from Illinois Wesleyan this month, said the pandemic made her feel stronger about her career choice. We in healthcare are the first and the last line of defense, said Shanks, a Central Catholic High School graduate. It showed the public how important healthcare workers are. She added, it's a tough and rigorous profession, but it's very rewarding. The caring aspects of nursing are often shown, but the pandemic has highlighted the critical thinking skills crucial to nursing, noted O'Connor. Although sites have reopened for national licensing exams, uncertainty remains in other areas. Heartland's first-year nursing students were supposed to receive their maternal clinical experience this spring, said O'Connor. They missed in-person experience with labor and delivery and assessment of newborns. They can do simulations, but it's just not the same as being there, O'Connor said. You can't replicate the social dynamics of how a child's illness impacts the whole family. Many internships and summer placements are in jeopardy. Fulce said schools are looking for supplemental experiences to help fill gaps of what nursing students would have gotten over the summer. It's not yet clear whether hospitals will be ready as clinical sites this fall. We'll start with virtual simulations and transition to direct patient care when it is possible to do so, Fulce said. Students in Heartland's certified nursing assistant program had to take an incomplete grade when their clinical experiences were cut short. Those already working in a long-term care setting can count their hours as clinical hours under a waiver from an agency that's part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, but that does not help CNA students without jobs or who are employed in another field, O'Connor said. Radiography, physical therapy assistant, and medical assistant students are also seeing delays because of the need for hands-on experience. If you can't go to a lab or clinical site, you can't learn about how to arrange a person on the table for an effective x-ray, explained O'Connor. It is important to work through the challenges for all students in healthcare-related fields, she said. They are really needed in the community. The next front page story is headlined, Permits Okayed for Advocate Carl Deal. It's datelined Normal. Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal and Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka are two steps closer to being acquired by the Urbana-based Carl Health. The Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board has approved a certificate of exemption application seeking approval for Carl to acquire Advocate Broman and Advocate Eureka, Carl announced late Thursday. In addition, Carl and Advocate Aurora Health, which is based in Downers Grove in Milwaukee, have cleared a regulatory requirement with the Federal Trade Commission's approval of Carl's $190 million acquisition of Broman, Eureka, and affiliated medical sites. Even though we do not anticipate any challenges, it is great to have this confirmation as we look towards July 1st and becoming a part of Carl Health, said Colleen Canaday, the president of Broman and Eureka. We are excited to continue building on the strong clinical partnerships that we have developed over the years for our patients in the region. Advocate and Carl announced acquisition plans in January after they were approved by the governing boards of both health systems. The transaction is scheduled to close July 1st. Under the agreement with Advocate Aurora Health, Carl would acquire all Advocate facilities in Normal, Eureka, Bloomington, and the surrounding area. This includes Broman and Eureka Hospitals, the Center for Outpatient Medicine, TCOM, and Broman Comfort and Care Suites in Bloomington and medical group offices throughout central Illinois. The next steps include finalizing certificate of exemption applications for the Center for Outpatient Medicine and the Comfort and Care Suites. Canaday said previously the acquisition also includes joint ventures such as Advocate Broman Health and Fitness Center in Bloomington and the Community Cancer Center in Normal. Dr. James Leonard, Carl President and CEO, told the Pantograph in January that Carl had no plans for Advocate staff changes. Plans call for Canaday to remain president at Broman and Eureka, and hospital name changes have not been finalized. We look forward to bringing expanded access to healthcare services in the Central Illinois region, said Dr. Charles Dennis, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Medical Officer at Carl. Despite the pressures on both systems given the COVID crisis, each has remained focused on the successful completion of this transaction in order to bring expanded access to healthcare services to the Central Illinois region, Dennis said. And our next front page story is from the state. It's from Springfield. Pritzker says IDES is meeting jobless claim challenge. Governor J.B. Pritzker said Thursday, the Illinois Department of Employment Security, IDES, is paying benefits to unemployed Illinoisans in a timely manner after a number of improvements were made to the oft-maligned process. Three-quarters of people filing claims received their first benefits within 2 weeks of applying, he added. Personnel worked daily to expand our system and capacity in order to address concerns from residents who could not access the online forms or reach a call center representative, the governor said. In many ways, they've been forced to build a new airplane while flying it, he said. Another 3.2 million Americans filed for unemployment during the week ending May 2nd, including more than 74,476 Illinoisans. That brought the total number of insured unemployed for the week to 697,443 in Illinois, according to the U.S. Department of Labor estimates, while the total number of jobless claims since mid-March grew to 33.3 million nationwide. The numbers represent roughly 11% of Illinois' civilian labor force and 15% of the nation's workforce. Last week's 74,000 filings were fewer than the 81,000 filings the week prior and down considerably from the peak of more than 200,000 during the week ending April 4th. IDES announced Thursday that it has processed more than 1 million claims since March 1st. The devastation this pandemic has wreaked upon our economy, the economy of the U.S. and that of the world, is mind-boggling, Pritzker said in his daily COVID-19 briefing Thursday. The swiftness and immediacy of its economic impact has never been seen before. The numbers continue to grow while states around the country contemplate the best plan for reopening their economies as the novel coronavirus pandemic appears to be in the middle of a plateau. Pritzker's Restore Illinois plan, which he says is backed by science and epidemiologists, has faced criticism from Republican lawmakers for moving too slowly to get the state working again. Since March, IDES has hired new employees and contracted retired ones, expanded the daily call center hours, updated its phone system, and modernized its online portal. Its staff worked thousands of overtime hours to process the avalanche of claims, Pritzker said. And the last front page story is a national one. It's headlined, Feds Shelve CDC's Advice, Guidance Offered on Reopening Locally. The Trump administration shelved a document created by the nation's top disease investigators with step-by-step advice to local authorities on how and when to reopen restaurants and other public places during the still-raging coronavirus outbreak. The 17-page report by a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention team, titled Guidance for Implementing the Opening Up America Again Framework, was researched and written to help faith leaders, business owners, educators, and state and local officials as they begin to reopen. Meanwhile, nearly 3.2 million laid-off workers applied for unemployment benefits last week as the business shutdowns caused by the viral outbreak deepened the worst U.S. economic catastrophe in decades. Roughly 33.5 million people have now filed for jobless aid in the 7 weeks since the coronavirus began forcing millions of companies to close their doors and slash their workforces. That is the equivalent of 1 in 5 Americans who had been employed in February, when the unemployment rate had reached a 50-year low of just 3.5%. The Labor Department's report Thursday suggests that layoffs, while still breathtakingly high, are steadily declining after sharp spikes in late March and early April. Initial claims for unemployment aid have now fallen for 5 straight weeks, from a peak of nearly 6.9 million during the week that ended March 28th. The CDC report was supposed to be published last Friday, but agency scientists were told the guidance would never see the light of day, according to a CDC official. The official was not authorized to talk to reporters and spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. The AP obtained a copy from a second federal official who was not authorized to release it. The guidance was described in AP stories last week, prior to the White House decision to shelve it. The Trump administration has been closely controlling the release of guidance and information during the pandemic, spurred by a new coronavirus that scientists are still trying to understand, with the president himself leading freewheeling daily briefings until last week. Traditionally, it's been the CDC's role to give the public and local officials guidance and science-based information during public health crises. During this one, however, the CDC has not had a regular pandemic-related news briefing in nearly 2 months. CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield has been a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, but largely absent from public appearances. And we're going to move now to local and state news. The first story is headlined, McLean County Adds 2 Cases. Prison inmate now Logan County's 8th COVID-19 patient. It's Dateline Bloomington. Excuse me. 2 more McLean County residents and 1 more Logan County resident have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing to 110 in McLean County and 8 in Logan County the number of people who have had confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus since March 19. 87 of the 110 McLean County residents and 5 of the 8 Logan County residents have recovered. McLean County Health Department and Logan County Health Department, in partnership with Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital, announced the latest numbers on Thursday. The 2 new McLean County cases are men, one in his 40s, one in his 20s, and both are isolating at home, said Dion McNeil, the county's communications specialist. The new Logan County case is a woman in her 20s who is an inmate at Logan Correctional Center where she is receiving medical attention. Meanwhile, the number of people tested at the COVID-19 drive-thru testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds, which is open to people from throughout Illinois, has exceeded 4,000. Of the 110 McLean County residents who have tested positive for COVID, 87 have recovered, 18 are isolated at home, and 2 are hospitalized, the health department reported. 3 McLean County residents died of COVID-19 earlier this spring. At the COVID-19 testing site at the fairgrounds at 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington, 105 more people were tested Wednesday, the Illinois Department of Public Health told the Pantograph Thursday, and that brings to 4,033 the number of Illinoisans who have been tested there since the site opened on March 28th. Macon County's Joint Crisis Communication Team reported 3 newly confirmed cases of COVID and the death of a woman in her 50s on Thursday. That means 135 Macon County residents have had confirmed cases of coronavirus and 15 have died. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Thursday reported 2,641 new cases of coronavirus disease statewide and 138 additional deaths. Since March, 70,873 Illinoisans have had confirmed cases of COVID-19 and 3,111 have died. Besides McLean, Logan, and Macon counties, COVID numbers for other Pantograph area counties include Champaign, with 229 cases and 6 deaths, LaSalle, 91 cases, 2 deaths, Iroquois, 78 cases, 1 death, Tazewell, 54 cases, 3 deaths, Livingston, 24 cases, 1 death, Woodford, 15 cases, 1 death, Ford, 12 cases, 1 death, Piatt, 7 cases, Marshall, 4, and DeWitt, 3. This next local story is headlined, College Reinvents Graduation, Heartland Plans Facebook Ceremony and Keepsakes for Grads. It's Dateline Normal. Heartland Community College will have its graduation ceremony at 6:30 p.m. May 15th as originally planned, but moved the reinvented ceremony online instead of at the Grossinger Motors Arena. Brainstorming about how to handle graduation began even before Governor J.B. Pritzker issued his executive order limiting large gatherings, said President Keith Corneal. The first thing that went into this is the safety of the individuals, he said. Administrators asked students what their concerns were and what their desires were, he said. Although this year's graduates are invited to participate in next year's ceremony, students told them they didn't want to wait that long to celebrate their achievements, said Cornille. The college expects about 550 students to complete certificates or degrees this spring. We are trying to give them the best type of experience we can, given the situation, he said. Basically, we had to reinvent the ceremony, said Heartland spokesman Steve Fast. It will be a little bit different. In addition to the online ceremony to be streamed on Heartland's Facebook page, the college is providing each graduate with a gift box containing tassel and mortarboard, a letter from the president, and other goodies. There's also a program that students can download and print, and the marketing department created badges that graduates can use on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media, he said. We have had some people with great technical skills step up, said Fast. There will be speakers and recognition for award recipients, but we are keeping it short and tight, Cornille said. We limited the remarks that we are saying, Cornille said in reference to himself and Board Vice Chair Jeff Lesner. All of the focus is to be on the student speaker, Nikki Van Dyke. A 2018 graduate of Olympia High School, Van Dyke was selected as student speaker from a group of nominees. She recently completed a term as student trustee and played softball at Heartland. Van Dyke plans to transfer to the University of North Georgia with the goal of becoming an elementary special education teacher. Cornille, Flessner, and Van Dyke recently recorded their remarks in a nearly empty auditorium on campus at the Astra Community Education Center. Also to be recognized during the ceremony are this year's recipients of the Distinguished Alumni Award, Dr. Shoshana Rao and Richard Casper, and the Outstanding Faculty Award recipients, Wayne Bass and Janet Titus. Rao is a physician and chair of the Department of Internal Medicine at Northwestern Medicine Delnor Hospital in Geneva. He attended Heartland after immigrating from India and received a certified nurse assistant certificate in 2004. He went on to get degrees from Illinois State University and Rush University Medical College. Casper is a songwriter and the founder and executive director of CreativeVets, a nonprofit that provides art, music, and writing programs for combat veterans with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries. A Marine Corps veteran, Casper attended Heartland from 2008 to 2011 and graduated from the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. Bass, who teaches humanities and religious studies, received the Outstanding Full-Time Faculty Award, and Titus, who teaches psychology, received the Outstanding Part-Time Faculty Award. And this next local story is headlined, Wintry Cold to Return on Friday. Dateline Bloomington. April showers bring May flowers, but those buds may get nipped if left unprotected Friday night. Central Illinois could face record-breaking lows Friday, today, for the month of May, as temperatures reach sub-freezing Friday night through Saturday morning. Garden enthusiasts and plant lovers should take precaution and bring their plants indoors or cover them for the night, said Chuck Schaffer, meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln. Temperatures are expected to drop to a low of 31 degrees in the Bloomington area and 32 degrees in Decatur and Mattoon areas as a cold front moves through central Illinois Friday afternoon, bringing strong north winds and unusually cold air. A freeze watch will go into effect midnight Friday, lasting through 8 a.m. Saturday, said Schaffer. The watch is mainly to warn people with gardens and other plants to take extra protection to keep their outdoor plants and vegetables safe. Meteorologists also advise people to wrap, drain, or drip outdoor water pipes to prevent freezing or bursting. In-ground sprinkler systems should be drained and above-ground systems should be covered to prevent freezing. As of right now, we are not expecting the cold to affect roads at all, said Schaffer. Mainly it's for the vegetation, the plants people are growing, as people have started gardens by this time of year. The cold weather won't last long, however. Temperatures should be in the mid-40s Sunday morning, still well below typical May lows, and gradually warm by the middle of the week. And this next local story is headlined, Hawaiian Restaurant and Coffee Shop Set for Bloomington Normal. Dateline Bloomington. Excuse me. A Hawaiian fast casual concept restaurant and an on-site coffee roaster are scheduled to open this fall on Bloomington's east side. Ground was broken Tuesday for Poke Works and Red Bud City Coffee Roasters at 1101 Airport Road. It's expected to open in early to mid-October. Poke Works is part of a national chain featuring poke bowls, poke burritos, and poke salads. There are currently no locations in Illinois, although there had been some in Chicago. Redwood City Coffee Roasters has been operating in Springfield area, providing service and distribution to other coffee shops, restaurants, and grocery stores, but this will be its first retail location, said Jason Dunn, a Bloomington optometrist who is part of a six-member investment group. Bloomington Normal has a great restaurant scene, but it seems always to get something second, he said. A lot of our group like sushi, and Poke Works seemed like a good fit for the community. Dunn noted that Airport Road and Illinois 9 are highly traveled, but there is no coffee house in the area. Red Bud City will have a drive-through window in addition to inside seating, and the coffee will be roasted on-site. The two businesses will be in the same building with a common dining area, Dunn said. Although Poke Works is a franchise chain, pairing it with a coffee shop was the investment group's idea, Dunn said. We also plan to have a lot of outside activities, such as volleyball, he said, but we don't have to do that right out of the box. With the coronavirus pandemic causing restaurants and others to face restrictions, the project could have been put on hold, Dunn said, but the outpouring of people supporting local businesses provided encouragement to go forward. And in addition to Dunn, the investors are Joseph D. Michelle, Craig Garber and Matt Caslow, all of Bloomington, as well as Ron Hayward and Mitchell Davidson from Springfield. And in today's update for the City of Bloomington, the free bulk waste curbside collection postponed it to July 6th. We'll have a regular collection May 7 to 15. The shared route for Broadmoor and Brookridge subdivisions, Crown Court, Westminster Village, and Bockenheimer, Pearson, Eastgate subdivisions. Also, you can drop off the bulk waste at Citizen Convenience Centers at 402 Southeast Street. And for the Amtrak update, the Chicago-St. Louis corridor service is reduced, including Lincoln service and Texas Eagle trains. Face coverings are required as of May 11th. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph for Friday, May 8th, 2020. I look forward to reading part two with you soon.